Good morning and welcome. Our first hymn, we have come into his house. And we are, of course, a church wherever we meet for true worship. Lord God, creator of all things, we praise you for your love, for your peace, for your guidance, and we thank you for the life of the Spirit within us. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, and we praise and worship you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now going to sing We Love the Place, O God. Loving God, we lift up in prayer the community in which we worship and live, and we pray for those whose lives interweave with ours. We pray for other local churches, we pray for Mount Olive and for their pastor. Lord, his wife has just recently died, but we thank you that she was a true believer and is now with you in glory. But Lord, for her husband and for the church, we pray that you would strengthen and comfort them at this time. May the lives of worship and service be used by you and guided by your Spirit, and may they be filled with the joy of the risen Saviour. May they with us be brought into a deeper partnership as we celebrate and serve you together. We pray for our local schools, colleges, and places of education. May they be places where children and young people are prized, where their education is valued, and the best of our society's understanding is passed on to the future. We pray for the places of work in the community. May those who work in them find their work adds to value their own lives and to those of others. We pray for those whose occupation is to serve our community, health workers, police, social workers, and so many others. May they, together with all who live here, help this to be a community where need is met and hope is given. And Lord, we know that there are many people who are unfortunately unemployed. There's been a lot of redundancy and there's been very hard time for many. We pray for those who have no work and we pray, Lord, that they will be helped to find appropriate work. We pray for the district of Torbay with its own particular mix of races, ages, and its unique character and traditions. May it be a place of compassion, justice, and vision. May your will, Lord God, be done and your love active in our community and in us. This prayer we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Now we're going to hear the reading which Hannah will bring to us.
You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows that they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world or life and death, or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God.
Now we're going to sing the wonderful song, O Breath of Life.
Church be blessed. still awaiting the harvest fields are vast and wide. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip your church to spread the light.
I've entitled the message for today, The Building of the Local Church. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians 3, the verses that you've just heard, verses 9 to 23. Number 1, Paul is discussing the building of the local church, the temple of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, he makes it clear that the individual is God's temple. But here in this passage, it is the local fellowship that is in view. In Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20, the whole church is compared to a temple of God. Paul points out that one day, God will judge our works as related in the local fellowship. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. God is concerned that we build with quality. The church does not belong to the pastor or to the congregation. It is God's church. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. You are God's building. So if we're going to meet and build the local church the way God wants it built, we must meet certain conditions. And I have those conditions for you. Number 1, we must build on the right foundations. Verses 10 and 11. The foundation is Jesus Christ. In 52 years of ministry, and 36 as a pastor, there is a minister who says, I have seen churches try to build on a famous preacher or special method or a doctrinal emphasis they felt was important. But these ministries simply did not last. We hear, don't we, from the Corinthians that they were emphasizing personalities. Paul, Peter, Apollos, when they should have been glorifying the Lord. There is but one foundation. Any ministry that is not founded on Christ will eventually collapse. Number two, for verses 12 to 17, we must build with the right materials. What did Paul want to symbolize by his choice of materials? He's not talking about people, because Christians are the living stones that make up God's temple. Instead, I believe Paul is referring to the doctrines of the Word of God. In each section of this chapter, the Word is symbolized in a way that fits the image of the church. The Word is food for family, seed for the field, and materials for the temple. The book of Proverbs presents the wisdom of the Word of God as a treasure sought, protected, and invested in daily life. When we remember that Paul, in his first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, has been writing about wisdom, we can easily see the connection of building with the right materials. The Corinthians were trying to build their church by man's wisdom, the wisdom of this world, when they should have been depending on the wisdom of God as found in the Word of God. Therefore, surely this means that the leaders in the local church must dig deep into the scriptures and seek the present precious gold, silver, and jewels, and then build these truths into the lives of the people that they lead. Thirdly, we must build according to the right plan, verses 18 to 20. It comes as a shock to some church members and leaders that you cannot manage a local church the same way as you run a business or command an enemy. This does not mean that we should not follow good business principles, but the operation is totally different. Theocracy, democracy, church meeting, the importance of all this in a Baptist church. There is wisdom of this world that works for the world, but it will not work for the church. The world depends on promotion, prestige, and the influence of money and important people. The church depends on prayer. And I've got five thoughts for you. One person is answer. It needs confirming. In other words, what do I mean? Well, put it this way. If one person says that God has spoken to them, that needs confirming. Needs going back and confirming it with other fellow Christians. Is this what God has really said? And then there is the power of the Spirit. It's great. And without it, you will not accomplish anything. Then there is humility. As I think you know, I've said so many times that as far as I am concerned, there is only one kind of leadership, and that is servant leadership. And that's what we want in the church today. And then there's sacrifice. We must sacrifice our own ideas and desires. There must be a cost, and there must be true service. We are created to serve God using the gifts of the Spirit that we are given. Our gifts and abilities must be used to glorify God alone. As servants, we are to serve God. We are to glorify God. We are to serve others. And we are to maintain a low profile, and to rely on the Lord, who says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." The church that imitates the world may seem to be successful for a time, but I tell you, friends, eventually it will fail. We do not need churches that will want to try and further their own ideas, ignoring what God has made plain, what he needs from his church. The church in the book of Acts had none of those so-called secrets of success that seem to be important today. For instance, they owned no property, they had no influence in government, they had no reserve of money. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold." They were ordinary people without special education. They did not use celebrities. They did not compete with each other. Yet they turned the world upside down. God has a specific plan for each local church. Each pastor and leader, each elder, must seek the mind of God for their wisdom. Although the church must be identified with the needs of the world, physical needs, things like the work of debt centers, food banks, etc. And then there's the spiritual needs. That is sharing the truth. Sharing the truth and helping new believers with discipleship so that they might grow as they seek to serve the Lord. The church must not imitate the wisdom of the world. Finally, number four, we must build on the right motive. Verses 21 to 23. The motive we must build on is to glorify God. The members of the Corinthian church were glorifying men, and this was wrong. They were comparing men and dividing the church. If they had been seeking to glorify God and Him alone, there would have been harmony in that church. Paul closes this appeal by pointing out that each believer possesses all things in Jesus Christ. Each one of God's servants belong to each other equally. We might have our own personal references when it comes to the different way we minister the word, but we must not permit our personal preferences to become divisive. Sometimes the preacher we may enjoy the least may be the one that we need most. Paul urges the Corinthians to get their eyes off of men and to keep their eyes on Christ and work with him in the building of his church. Yes, much is required of leaders. We must feed the family and bring the children to maturity. We must sow the seed in the field and pray for increase. We must search the treasures of the world and build these treasures into the church. It's no wonder, my friends, is it, that Jesus said, it was his church. So it's no wonder then, is it, that Paul cried, "Who is sufficient for these things?" But he also gave the answer. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Our sufficiency or our competence comes from God and God alone. Amen. Now, before we take communion, we're going to sing "Thank You for the Cross."
Bearing all my sin and shame. Oh,
as we come to share communion together, let us remember this. We come because Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. We come and meet the risen Lord Jesus, for not only did he die, but he rose from the dead, and praise God, he is alive forevermore. We come and bring our concerns and our problems to him, and we must believe that he will deal with them for us. We come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. We come with thankful hearts. We must come in humility and go in confidence, because Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of celebrating communion. We do this as you requested, in remembrance of you and all that your death and resurrection has meant and still means very, very much today. So, let us take the bread in remembrance that Jesus died for us, and let us feed on him by faith in thanksgiving. You know that Jesus also took the cup, and he said, "The cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood." He said, "Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." And so we raise the cup and we drink together. Lord, may we go to our family and friends and to our homes, knowing that our Lord Jesus goes with us. And may we go in peace, loving and serving you, O Lord. Amen. Now, a hymn that I know many of us love, "In Christ Alone." And that hymn has a message for us, doesn't it? All that we do must be in Christ.
Strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter. The wrath of
Now we're going to say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.